Magandang araw, Podmates! Howie Severino muli, kasama ang isa pang premyadong Pilipino na magbibigay ng payo sa atin tungkol sa anxiety ng Kapaskuhan. Yes, the holidays are not just joyful but also stressful. How can we manage the sensory overload after years of quiet and lockdowns? How should we react to the titos and titas who make taklesa comments during reunions? And just the relatives and friends that we no longer agree with. Maraming sa ating may ganyan. So, friends and podmates, our guest today, the trauma therapist and mental health clinician, among many other things, Gang Badoy Kapati. Magandang araw sa iyo, Gang.
Hello, Howie. Maraming salamat na invitahan mo ako dito. Ano yung sinabi mo kanina? Thought people?
Podmates.
Oh, podmates.
Pakulo lang namin yan, just you know.
Akala ko sabi mo thought mates. Sasabihin ko sana, ang ganda naman.
Pwede rin. Oo, wow. Well, ikaw naka-invento niyan, ha? So, we'll give you credit. Anyway, Gang, no, just to clarify and to get this possible confusion out of the way, no, you're one of two known public personalities with the last name Badoy, and you are often mistaken for her, si Lorraine Badoy, ang dating communications official sa Administrasyong Duterte. Just so people know, she is your half-sister. Both of you are very, very opinionated and active on social media. Maybe that's why you get mistaken for the other. But yun nga, just to clarify, you are Gang and she is Lorraine, whom you call your manang we. She is older than you. I'll ask you about your interesting family background later, no? First, let's go to holiday blues, Gang, no? I know you've been thinking about this and this is part of your expertise, no? And thank you for helping make mental health and wellness a part of the public conversation, no? So it's that time of year, no? Maraming homecomings and reunions. This is the first big holiday season since before the pandemic, no? But we know holidays in general can be stressful, no? And now we're emerging from a pandemic. Yung palang, I know it's not just a happy occasion, but I'm sure it makes some people nervous, no? So ang unang kong tanong sa iyo, Gang, no? How do you think it will be different this year from the years before the pandemic? Do you think the collective trauma of a global pandemic will affect how we celebrate?
Well, ang trauma, lagi siyang, kailangan natin isipin yung trauma lagi na time-bound. Lagi niyang kasabay ang time. You have to always consider time. Kasi yung trauma, is hindi yun yung bad event na nangyari. Yung trauma yung naiwan na mark, na lamat. So pag sinabi ko, nanonood ka ng CSI usually, diba? Are there signs of trauma? So ang signs of trauma, black and blue, knife wound, or whatever. So it's usually physical na baby. Exactly. Kaya nga ang emotional trauma, ang hirap-hirap niyang i-address kasi hindi siya visible. So dahil sinabi ko yung time, sa tanong mo, tandaan mo, maraming Christmases ang naganap bago ng 2019. So depende kung ilan taon ka. So kung 20 ka, then you've had at least 18, 19 Christmases. 2.5 na years na nakalock. So may memory ka kung ano yung itsura ng Christmas pre-coronavirus, right? Dalawa lang yun. Kasi you kaka-release lang natin from lockdowns, eh, right? So dalawa lang yun. Wow, I'm back! Parang yun yung una. So, hindi mo pa masyadong ma-feel yung dami ka pang hindi yung na-feel. It's a lot like if you're so, so hungry. Kasi yung una mong meal, iba yung paglasap mo kumpara sa other days that you're hungry. So what do I mean? How do we handle coming out of a pandemic? I really think, first, I think we will enjoy the ones we've quote-unquote missed. And then, ito yung pinaka-okay, Howie. I think konti lang ang gift ng pandemic and I still wish it didn't happen. It's still not there. I wish viruses didn't evolve this way. But meron siyang gift. May makikita ka throughout your life na parang, ay, okay lang pala to. Halimbawa, staying home. Marami sa atin, lalo na kung nakatira tayo sa masalimuot, medyo complex na household, alam mo, kahit gano'ng ka-loving yung magpapamilya, kahit gano'ng ka-cool yung parents mo, laging may merong mahirap na parts, laging may komplikadong parts. Isa-survive mo yun by going out. No? So may barkada ka, may friends. Kung di mo kasundo ate or kuya mo, ang comfort mo is may kaibigan ka at may barkada ka nakasundo. So at least dito may happy moment. So nakikita mo ba yung definition ng coping mechanism? Yung lalabas ako kasi hassle sa bahay ngayon. Many of us have said that, you know. By the way, pag sinabi ko hassle sa bahay, I don't mean there's no love. Laging may love naman. Meron ding nakakainis sa love. Parang ganun. So ang mangyayari, marirealize mo, okay lang palang magstay sa bahay. May mga nagre-realize na ganun. So lahat ito mapuput to the test over the holidays. Lahat ito, mafe-feel mo sarili mo habang nasa maingay na reunion, magkaka 1 minute ka na, ayoko pala to, or gusto ko pala to. So ang ganda, please observe yourself habang nasa dinner ka or nasa family reunion ka. Pakiramdaman mo yung feeling ng chan mo, feeling ng shoulders mo, nagparang tense ba ako the whole time? Alam mo, ganun, hindi natin napapansin, Howie. Well, may dumating na tita na hindi mo masyadong kasundo or tita na sobrang critical, hindi mo napapansin yung lower back mo, yung jaw mo, naka-grit na yung teeth mo, tapos yung shoulders mo medyo alert. Yeah? Kasi alert yung bodies natin pag hindi tayo masyadong safe. Habang nasa dinner ka, tunugan mo sarili mo like, nagre-relax ba ako? Nafe-feel ko ba yung lower back ko? Jaw, kahit yung panga mo, tense na ako. Oo, ganyan.
Well, nabanggit mo yung tita, no? Well, we don't want to stereotype titas. May mga tito rin that we dread, no, na medyo minsan taklesa or takles, no? So and that's one reason why many of us dread big reunions kasi hindi mo naman makokontrol minsan kung sino yung magpapakita doon, 'di ba? And then there's always somebody who will, you know, make a comment that makes others feel uncomfortable, di ba? And it's usually naman well-meaning, di ba? Parang nangangumusta lang, but you know, very often parang politically incorrect these days, no? Pero alam mo, may mga ibang kamag-anak natin, they were born in a different time, no? Like minsan makikita ka, ang taba-taba mo na, no? As if you know, it's a sign of good health when actually parang nahi, di ba? Parang your people get conscious of these things. And we have to admit that many people, because they weren't able to go outside during the pandemic, no? They stayed inside eating. Hindi nag-exercise masyado. Or yung minsan, di ba? Yung kailangan ka mag-aasawa, di ba? Kailan kayo magkakaanak? Ako, I have one child. Madalas kong marinig yung antipid mo naman, di ba? Parang, bakit isa lang? Number one, do you have that kind of experience? And, you know, what do you hear and how do you react? How would you recommend others reacting or dealing with those kinds of comments by well-meaning relatives and friends sometimes?
Okay, unang-una, Howie, kailangan rin natin aminin na hindi sila lahat well-meaning. Alam mo yun, kahit yung pagkasabi mo na, pag sinabihan kang, ang taba mo ngayon, but they're well-meaning. Okay rin aminin na sometimes hindi. I think some of them are mean. They can be. I don't know, for whatever reason. But the reason why I start there, kasi laging pag sinabi natin, pero well-meaning naman sila, parang nabibigyan mo na rin ng excuse yung bad behavior agad eh. Intindihin mo na lang, ibang generation sila, intindihin mo na lang, after the war kasi sa kanila, ibig sabihin, prosperous ang mataba, so compliment yun. It doesn't matter. Pag may sinabihan kang 11-year-old na, uy, tumaba ka, kawawa yung 11-year-old na yun, magta-trauma, sear siya sa brain na, I need to always be thin. So they become really neurotic about weight loss, and we've seen too many. By that, I mean, aminin natin na meron talagang relatives na hindi bagay sa atin. Okay, yun na muna. They're not good or bad. Hindi lang sila bagay sa atin because I think sometimes they're mean. Why do I start here? Kasi it's a stance of honesty. Ay, hindi. Merong iba talagang ganito. At okay lang yun. I don't need, di ko sila kailangan bawian. Di ko rin sila kailangan tabihan. Hindi ko rin sila kailangan, you know, hindi ako magpapa-apekto. But we always get affected. Second, pag sinabihan ka lang, uy, tumaba ka, uy, pumayat ka, kahit anong sabihin na that bothers you, May reason kung bakit nasasaktan tayo agad, lalo na pag family. Because we love them. Kasi we want them to be proud of us. We want them to be happy that we're related. So anything they say, mas malaki yung hurt kumpara sa kung yung manang sa sari-sari store magsabing tumaba ka kumpara sa tita mo. Iba, 'di ba? So it comes from love, the way we're affecting, we accommodate the feeling kasi they matter to us. Okay, now I bring us to the third. Why do they matter to us? Yun yung mahalagang question that might need a whole lifetime to try to answer.
Wait, hold on. Before we go on to that, no? Kasi that's a medyo importanting discussion. But back to number one, na aminin natin na minsan hindi well-meaning, no? Okay, I get what you're saying. Let's be honest na hindi naman lahat magandang intention. May mga tao talaga na nangiinsulto, etc. Ito naman, I don't know if it's a devil's advocate question, but if we don't proceed from a kind of a good faith assumption, kasi yun ang assumption eh, good faith na okay, well-meaning, di ba? Kasi if it won't become a fight, personally I don't get into fights, no, but it might ruin my mood. Di ba? Rather than gloss over it, kasi that's one way of kind of reassuring yourself na if you tell yourself na wala naman masamang intention, well-meaning naman yan, mahal pa rin naman ako niya, hindi niya alam kung anong sinasabi niya, or he's just old school. I mean, if you rationalize it that way, mas magiging forgiving ka sa tao, and it's more possible to move on rather than telling yourself na okay, this person is really hindi maganda yung intention niya, may balak siya talagang mang-insulto. Eh, di ba, won't that make you like stew most of the night?
Thank you for bringing that up. Super. Kasi, yes, it can to make you stew the rest of the night. But it's not like you're surprised. You knew coming in that there are relatives such as these. Ba't nagugulat ka pa rin? But every year ba, ini-expect mo na magiging mas okay sila? Parang, wow, optimistic mo naman. Parang hindi yan. So, what I want, if I say, na ganyan siya talaga. Medyo mean-spirited talaga si Tito or si Tita X. You can do, ganun talaga siya. You know, it doesn't have to have a reaction of fight or ruining my night. You actually get to practice, there are really awful people in the planet. And then you proceed. Why? Kasi ang dangerous masyado nung they mean well, etc. That leads to a large frame of thinking na it's excusable. But it isn't. These things are not excusable in the end. They're so hurtful when you're 7 years old or when you're in your preteen. A comment on your weight is the world. It means the world to you. And even the comment lang na, oh, mas mabuti yung kapatid mo. Oh, yun. Ang laki nun. Kahit it seems like it's nothing. Many of us outgrow it. But when you're 9 years old, it that means the world. I think what I meant was, Howie, okay tayo maging honest na, oh, merong awful people, but they don't invade my mind space na. Rather than deny. Kasi grabe yung system ng denial. I-attack niya at the weirdest times in the largest magnitude. So,
but ito, there's another set of situations that are more, I guess, pertinent to the times, no? There are friends and relatives who show up and then you realize they have these opinions na that are like the polar opposite of yours. For example, I don't know your own attitude on vaccination. No, but I'm vaccinated. I'm boosted. But I have friends who are not, don't believe in it, and you know, and it sometimes it causes some awkwardness, tension, discomfort. Yeah, because you know they go around. They're not vaccinated, diba? So parang aren't you putting at risk other people? May ganon, no? Okay, that's one. No, and the other is of course you mas political pa, diba? All of a sudden, I went to the States. I have relatives pala who are pro-Trump. May maraming Pilipino doon, ha, na pro-Trump, ha, sa Amerika. You'll be surprised. Hindi yung mga woke na kabataan usually. It's usually mga tito-tita, di ba? Who don't realize na, you know, anti-immigrant pala itong mga policies ni Trump. And then may white supremacy siyang mga allies, etc. No, it's usually because, you know, he's anti-abortion. Mga ganon, no? But anyway, that's another set of circumstances, no? Na minsan hindi ka talaga makapagpigil. Eh. In terms of politics, you know, people who, you know, agreed with the drug war, for example, no?
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you really, because there are other people listening, di ba? You know, sometimes you just have to, you know, put in your 2 centavos worth of opinion, di ba? On that, no? So, you know, man, how do you deal with that? I mean, you can't say na are they just mean? You can't say that they're mean-spirited just because they have a different political view, di ba? Or do you just ignore it and, you know, shift the conversation to the weather and vacation plans or the food, di ba? Oh, let's talk about lechon instead of, you know, who you're going to vote for, etc. Anong, yeah. How do you deal with that?
Bago ka pa pumunta sa party, okay na mag-decide ka na kaagad kung makikipag mag-engage ka, mag-share ka ng opinion, or you will keep the conversation on the weather and the food. Parang sana bago ka pumunta mag-decide ka na. I mean, nag-e-ensayo tayo, nag-stretching tayo bago mag-jogging, bago mag-basketball. Kailangan mong mag-emotional stretching bago ka pumunta sa family reunion. Hindi ka pwedeng pumunta doon from the cold. You know? May cramps ka kaagad emotionally and psychologically. So yes, please, bago ka pumunta sa large gathering, lalo na kung medyo may tricky people, stretching ka na parang pag-bringing up ba to? What if they bring this? Siguro I won't engage if they bring this up. So may, pwede ka mag-pre-decide. Pwede ka rin ba mag-change ng mind while you're already eating? Of course. Of course, pwede. Talagang read the room. Basahin mo kung sinong nandun. Tansyahin mo rin kung nasan ka dun. Tansyahin mo kung sinong dapat kausapin at patulan pa at sino yung hindi. Kasi merong iba na nagbibring up ng topic para manalo. Yung mga yun, let them win. pero merong iba na talagang inquiry, may tanong. Lalo na kung pamangkin mo, mas bata sa'yo. Lalo na kung peer mo, let's say pinsan, iba na kasi yung rules pag older eh. So I'm talking about peer and pamangkin na parang may strong opinion. And you feel like you are in a position, whatever that means to you, you're in a spot and you have some knowledge that you would like to share. Now, ito pa, the number one most difficult is talagang minding your tone, the way you say it, the way you say things, and when words, you know, wars have been caused by using the wrong phrase. So, yun, may ganun. Ikaw rin, examine mo rin sarili mo. Nag-engage ba ako sa conversation to kasi gusto ko manalo dahil nakakainis tong tito na to? Or nag-engage ba ako kasi talagang I really think endangered sila if they're not vaccinated. Those are two different things. And then you go from there.
Basically, ang sinasabi mo, i-process natin. Huwag tayong, let's not be rash. In other words, mayroon na tayong strategy on how to deal with it rather than, you know, reacting on the spur of the moment. Parang, di ba? Kasi that's how trouble begins, eh. Di ba? You don't want these nights to end badly. Diba? I mean, it's, you know, these...
For you, actually, Howie, I really appreciate that you said earlier that the reason why I keep assigning good faith to people who are biting and mean is because I need to keep my mood. So it's the way that I keep my my equanimity, my evenness of temper as I go there. So para sa'yo yun, okay? So okay lang. Pero para sa'yo rin yung sinabi ko na okay lang aminin na hindi sila okay, ah. Ang hindi okay is all night igigera mo sila just because you admitted that. What I want us to learn is to say, hindi siya masyadong okay at hindi ko problema yon. Hindi siya masyadong okay, hindi na lang ako tatabi doon. Hindi siya masyadong okay, siguro mag-hi, hello lang ako, mano, and then I'll leave. So there is an honesty, there's a calmness, and when you decide that someone is awful, it doesn't always have to be a fight. You can actually stay away. But it's really good training to have a calm body while admitting there is a monster in the room. Yeah, it's really, really helpful rather than monster fight or monster not go or no, I'm sure it's a well-meaning monster.
So conscious ka lang, but that doesn't mean na kailangan mo i-verbalize kung ano yung iniisip mo.
Yeah, oh, correct. Exactly. Oh. Pinag-uusapan lang yung thought, wala pa yung decision how to act towards them.
Yeah.
Pinag-uusapan ka lang yung aminin mo naman, di ba? Okay lang.
You know, okay. Now, you know, our culture is so family oriented, no? However, in the last couple of years, marami sa atin ang nakakulong lang sa bahay, nasanay na tayo doon. I mean, you mentioned that earlier, no? And many of us were fine with it, no? And now, kung nakaka-cause ng anxiety yung pupunta ka sa isang na, you know, you're expected to be at a family gathering or reunion. And you know there are people there that you may not agree with or might say something that could be hurtful, etc. Would it be okay not to go for your own peace of mind? Is that an option? How can we set healthy boundaries, no, with our relatives and family?
100% yes, pwedeng mag-absent. I will always say that, pwedeng mag-absent. Ang gusto ko lang tanong mo sa sarili mo, ay, how will you feel the next day after mo mag-absent? Do you feel FOMO? Like, do you feel rotten when you see the pictures of your family and you're not there? Is that the priority? Or can you live with it and say, ah, sayang, wala ako doon sa family picture. Okay lang. May ganung effects eh, di ba? I mean, these are real things. Hindi to mababaw. These are not shallow things, actually. So, pwede mag-absent talaga. Kasi, ang laki ng pressure masyado kung pumunta ka into a lion's den, knowingly. And then, mas for me, I would rather go and then and be prepared for it. Or go with no, what's the word? With no unnecessary hope that it'll be okay. Kasi times two yung heartbreak mo after. Kapag, you know, baka it will be a happy Christmas.
So far, no, we've been talking about, you know, family dealing with, you know, relatives kind of in an abstract or generic sense, no? But I want to ask you about your own family since you have an interesting family background, no? And quite unusual, no? Just for our listeners who aren't familiar. Your father, si Justice Anacleto Badoy, was a widower with 5 children. Like, correct me if any of this is wrong.
No.
Yeah. And then he was a widower, no? And then he married your mom, who was a widow then, who had 8 children. Okay. And then so na combine yung dalawang puwersa na yan, no? Then the two of them. Yeah, then the two of them had you and your older brother Nuch, no? So I can imagine, no? I can't imagine. It's hard to imagine. But did you all get together for Christmas while you were growing up? And what was that like?
Me? No. No. How do I say this? When we were born, Nuch and I, my brother and I, you have to look at the average age. Yung mga panganay, mga 18, 19 sila noon or 17.
When you were born na? Oh, laki
yeah,
na agwan,
I was born.
In other words.
So teenagers, may teenagers na marami sa gitna. And then may blank years of children kasi yun yung years na widowed sila and then kami. Nakagisnan ko, Howie, wala na sila. It was just me and my mom's children. Whoever my mom gave birth to, that's who I grew up with. So the 8 Sacros, that's their last name, and Nuch and I. So we're 10. The 5 by my dad's first wife, kasama din si Yusik Lorraine, they grew up in another home. So when I would ask, when we would see each other, if you ask from me lang, ang alam ko lang, we only see each other New Year's Day lunch. Okay, January 1 lunch. That's when all 15 offsprings are together.
So yun ang family tradition yon, New Year's. But you did get together, no? So you were the youngest of this big
yes.
brood, no? So what was that like?
Now that I'm older, you know, as I'm turning 52, and now that I'm older, I look back and I realize, wow, that was tedious. Minsan nga naawa ako sa younger self ko konti. Kasi parang, wow, pinanganak ako, ang dami kong tinikling, ang joke namin ng kapatid ko lagi, nagtitinikling kami at nagsisingkil para lang umabot sa gerber namin. Para lang umabot sa baby food namin. When an infant is born, in any mammal situation, be it a cat, dog, or a human, there is care around that baby and, you know, dependent yung baby and then there's food, etc. When I was born, my mom was bedridden for the next 7 months kasi I was a tedious birth. So, ang nag-alaga sa akin in rotation, mga kapatid ko, I heard, no matter how loving my mom is, you have 10, you know, you have one, you have Alon, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even that is...
Sometimes it feels like 4 or 5 though.
Exactly. Imagine kami.
Uh-oh.
So, anong nangyari? Growing up as a youngest child of a complex family setup really set me up to be chronically traumatized. Not in what you're imagining, not in the acute way, but chronically traumatized, meaning I'm always careful. I always, we kami yung mabantay what we say. Hindi rin kami masyadong mahingi. Hindi kami mahingi kasi there are other people. So we wait for our turn a lot, which makes us very resourceful. Sometimes I ask through my dad, I have to figure out how to get what I want. So maraming, ang tawag dito, internal, innate, inborn lessons when you grow up the youngest of a large family or anyone in a large family.
Okay, speaking of these lessons, no? Kasi, you know, you've had some public disagreements, no? Over politics and other issues with your ate, no? Your older half sister Lorraine, no? But I understand that you were close at one time. I know her public comments on social media have been a source of stress for you. How have you handled that? And have you been applying some of your advice to others on your own personal situation? No, I know this is, in a way, this is private, but you've been you know, both of you tweet, yeah, yeah. And so you're kind of public about all this, and many people know about it. People are curious also, because I'm sure you're not unique in having disagreements with a sibling. No, so how have you handled that?
Actually, a large part of my diving into neuroscience, brain behavior, and mental health is because my mom has Alzheimer's, and I was also feeling something I didn't imagine I'd ever have, which was a bout with depression. I really struggled with it as my mom was losing her memory. And then in the process, I realized, whoa, I also need everything I'm learning to handle just the dailies that land on my lap. You know, apparently, I think, Howie, as we get older, you get less and less energy and endurance to handle bullshit. So I started feeling, started crawling closer and closer to a place na parang I tried to be as honest as possible. Then I realized, wow, growing up pala, living in lies made me feel protected. Like, no, they're nice. That's what I mean. I think that's why I answered your question early on, when you always say she's well-meaning, the relative is well-meaning, they don't mean to hurt you. I think that's a lie I've been telling myself for many situations na, no, it's okay, it's okay. I'm always torn between really fucking ignoring and like dismissing, and oh my God, ano to, and really make it ruin my day. And also there's another area which is heartbroken, like, wow, she used to be so cool. So yes, I have like 1,000 feelings around this. Recently it leans more towards annoyance. Parang yun na lang yung dominant feeling ngayon. But I also learned immensely difficult na I can love this person from afar, very, very far, and I don't need to have the dinners. And just because we don't reconcile, or in the traditional cinematic way, like, sorry, then you're friends again, doesn't make it not right. It's all right. You can walk away. I learned to accept that I will have 500 moods depending on the day I'm seeing it. And I will just have to accept that. And I don't need to decide today where I am. Like, I don't need to decide tonight that I will never be bothered by her. I don't also need to decide that I no longer love her. Kailangan tanong mo ako ulit bukas. Tanong mo ako ulit bukas. Or we forget about it and you ask me again next month. Because that's human condition. Ba't ko sinasabi to? Ba't ko sinashare to? Kasi baka meron ka rin ganito in your life, yung mga nakikinig. Baka meron ka rin kamag-anak na talagang parang, hindi talaga okay, parang medyo ang gaspang in on you, it's so rough on you. Baka rough din ako on her, ha? So don't get me wrong, I don't know, but I'm just speaking of my side. Kung meron ka mag-anak na ganito, meron akong i-share talaga. Hindi mo kailangan mag-decide kung ano yung feeling mo permanently. Pwede ka mag-decide, this week hindi ko muna papansinin kasi meron akong exam. This week, nabother ako, naiyak ako kasi okay kami dati. This week, asar na asar ako. Grabe, mga pinagsasabi nito tungkol sa red tag. Well, so yeah, I have a problem with many things she says. So my point is, I have 1,000 feelings. I have 1,000 feelings regarding her. Recently, the predominant feeling is, basta alam nila hindi ako yun, okay na ako, parang ganun.
Yeah, yeah, and I know it, and I know it causes you some a certain kind of anxiety when people mistake you for her. I mean, you've said na sometimes people message you thinking you're Lorraine, no?
Yes, yes. Wow, you know, can't imagine. sometimes I get fan mail, but that's mga 2 out of 20 lang. Pero mga 18 out of 20 talagang hate messages for her. And when it's recklessly written, like puro, bakit mo, hindi ko binapansin yun. Pero parang pag thoughtfully written, kasi nahiya akong hindi mag-reply na, actually, sorry, you feel this way, na namatayan ka rin ng friend, etc. Pero actually, hindi ako yun, pero ipo-forward ko, parang ganun. Yeah, we were close. Is that what you're asking? We started with that. We were close. In fact, I would consider myself really close. I was so absolutely honest with her growing up because she was the relieving adult for me that accepted anything I said. How do I, what do I mean? My older sisters, whom I really grew up with, they're very well behaved, you know, like, and my mom is very strict. You can't say bad words. Yeah, you have to do well in school. Manang Wee was like the breath of fresh air for me. Kasi parang I could do anything. I can even say, can I light a cigarette? And parang sharing my consent. She was the cool one. She's the cool adult. Let's just put it that way. And for any teenage Filipina, it's so relieving to have an adult female that makes you feel I'm not judged, you know. So that's kind of her to me. And I also thought I envied her a lot because she was so brash. Like, it, she could just say things. And I was always afraid of what my mom would say. So I slowly would get the frankness from her. But then I was always afraid of my mom or the disapproval of my older siblings. So I would pull back a bit. But I did pick up the... I love it when she was irreverent, joking. Siya yung nakaka-joke ng bastos and she gets away with it. I really enjoyed that, those stretch of years. I'm very grateful. You know, if I think about it now, I'm super grateful I had 3 decades and some as a good friend to Lorraine. I cherish those. That's gone. I've mourned that. Pagluksaan ko na. Oh, but I'm super grateful I had that. But ngayon, wala nang space eh. There's no space for her in my world. And I don't think I have space in her world either. And this is what I mean by truth. And you say, sometimes they're not, di lang kami bagay. No? Sayang, no? Sayang, no? Kasi feeling ko okay kami kung magiging magkakampi kami. pero hindi. So. Yeah.
Well, and you know, the reason, also one reason why I'm asking about this particular relationship is, hindi naman kayo ganon ka-unique. Of course, there are unique, very unique aspects of your relationship. You know? But in terms of politics dividing families, you know, siblings not talking to each other anymore, or children not, you know, not talking to their parents because of politics.
Yeah.
I mean, madalas nangyayari ngayon yan because politics are so polarizing these days. I mean, they've always been polarizing, but maybe because it's a lot of the disagreements have been magnified by social media and people feel so empowered to say anything they want. Whereas before, you know, they would just be quiet about certain things. But now, no, you know, very few people are quiet about their opinions.
Yeah.
So
I also think because it became about people, it became by people, I mean, it became about the person symbolizing certain segments. It's no longer about movements or like human rights or making the Philippines better or lessening our debt or paying our taxes. It became about Lenny Bongbong, or it became about Vicor, you know, it became about the, and when there's a human face to it, we can't help but feel being the cheerleaders of that person. And then I think that's what's divisive. Pero I think on all political spectrum sides, nobody will say naman that we don't want the Philippines to succeed. Parang I think everybody will agree. I think we now have to figure out, parang bakit, what if we just focus on that? Take out all the names. How about that? Let's take out all the names and just discuss the Maharlika Wealth Fund. Let's just take out all the names involved and talk about just what Angat Buhay does. Let's take out all the names and discuss DepEd. Just DepEd. What's it doing? Tanggalin mo lahat ng pangalan involved. Baka we can find a better conversation. But no, names are in and then emotions are in attached to the names we support. Colors are in and we have like raging feelings about these colors too. So yeah, I think it becomes that.
I want to ask you about your varied career, no? You've worn many hats nga. As I mentioned earlier, no, I mean, you know, one of the things you've done is you've helped make volunteerism cool, no, through Rock Ed and how it's responded to, you know, disasters, and now it's gotten into, you know, mental health. Is Project Steady a Rock Ed project, no? So you're making mental health now a part of public conversations. But you know, you went to UP, you know, you played on the varsity volleyball team. Okay, so you're a sports minded person. Then you went to the US for a decade, and I read that you became a barista, a journalist, among other things. You came home, became a radio show host. In fact I guested on your show years ago, and then you know, naging aktivista ka rin, no, for you've had various causes, and now you call yourself a trauma therapist. That's your profession, and you've gotten training for this, no? So what are your main influence dito sa mga choices na to? And how did you end up doing what you're doing now? Why mental health? Went to wellness.
I don't think it'll surprise you, but I'll say it anyway. If you trace everything you just said about me, they're all really leading to one general direction, which is that I think I've been finding for myself a venue to ask my questions. So whether it's in politics, it's in the way sports are run, in taking care of our athletes, lagi yata akong driven by, I have questions and I want a venue to ask these questions. So I really always want to say that Rocket is an advocacy of questions and mental health. I ended up here not by way of zigzag. Actually, I think it's a direct flight from asking about civic rights, civic engagement, participation, relevance, love of country, mingling culture, music, film, art, definitely. It leads to my mental steadiness pala. Yun pala yung bottom line of this all. When I keep studying civil movement, political motions, leaders, it really goes back to mental health care, I think, from when they were young. Where did this thinking start? I taught in the maximum security prison, diba? I was their art therapist for a long time, and basically I was their therapist. That's almost a decade. I also learned doon na a lot of criminal behavior, quote unquote, really came from lack of mental health care, lack of mental health guiding. Many crimes were done on a spur of what I now look back, and parang that was a manic episode. Parang that was a manic episode. By criminal, I mean those who were caught and in jail. I don't mean the large-scale criminals who do systematic graft. Ha? Iba sila. Ibang liga yun. Ito talaga yung mga na-aresto at na-jail. Karamihan doon is lack of structure, lack of parenting. Pero large percentage talaga is the incapacity to mentally and emotionally regulate themselves. So they react.
Yeah. So why did you end up doing that? How did this become a mission? No? I mean, there are a lot of sectors you could focus on. I mean, you could have spent a lot more time with orphans or the urban poor. But you know, you've made this a particular mission, no? And in particular, you've been facilitating or teaching creative writing as a wellness strategy, as a way of helping them through this kind of art, no? So, why?
Marami rin nagtanong sa akin recently, ba't parang lahat ng pasyente mo mayaman? It's my heartbreak, ah. Because they're the ones who can afford. Right? That's first. But second, I do charge full rates so that each patient sponsors a public school teacher who can't afford to pay. I have a socialized framework in our clinic, in our learning lab. Nare-realize ko rin slowly, many large things are decisions made by very few people in our lives, whether it's the tycoon, it's the Senate, it's the, I don't know. I realize now sa Tatsulok, talagang ang liit, konting-konting lang yung nagde-decide for so many, how we are employed, what kind of businesses come in. There are few signatures that happened and then the whole call center industry came in. That's a great example of how a small group of people influenced the whole. And then what happened nung nagka-BPO na tayo, meron ng Family Mart, 7-Eleven, nagka-24-hour businesses because of that. So what I mean is, na-realize ko na sa lahat ng ginawa ko as a human rights activist, as a etc., it's in the hands of few. It's in the hands of very few people. Our fate sometimes is in the hands of very few people. And so I want to have more and more and more and more and more and more people who are mentally regulating, who can make decisions not so much based on reflex from trauma. Hindi yung dahil nabully ako, magbubully back ako. Narealize ko parang ito yata yung bottom line. Kahit lahat ng dictators, ng military rules, etc. If you look back in their life history, there really is something that may have gone unaddressed, a trauma that may have gone unaddressed.
Well, you know, I just want to just share, no, because I did a documentary where I had to go inside New Bilibid and interview inmates there. And I realized a vast majority of them did not finish high school, and many did not finish elementary school. And many of them were illiterate, actually, couldn't read or write. So parang wala sila masyadong options as a career except crime, no? I'm sure mental wellness had probably had something to do with it. But I guess if kung di ka nakapag-aral, even if you don't have, you know, mental health issues, you could be mentally well. But if you didn't graduate from elementary school, you don't know how to read or write. And someone says, "Uy, isama ka sa amin, you know, you're going to earn this much by doing this." You know, it's very tempting, no? And then you end up in prison. So I guess that's why also there's a literacy program there sa prison, no?
Sorry, kaya sila yung nahuhuli at hindi yung mga boss nila.
I want to ask you about one experience you had in teaching creative writing sa prison. I mean, it's very admirable you're doing this. But sabi mo, tumigil ka sa iyong pagtuturo sa New Bilibid Prison nung napatay si Alexis Chuseco and his girlfriend Nika because you were, I guess, traumatized, I guess is one way of describing it, no? And I remember, I also knew Alexis, no? And I wasn't as close to him as you were, but I know how you grieved, you and you know, people like Erwin Romulo, you know, he had a lot of friends. How did you process that? And eventually you went back to Bilibid, no? So you were able to overcome. Did you go through a period of anger as well, no? Were you blaming people? you were blaming like criminal types, yung mga tinuturoan mo sa Bilibid. Was that part of your thought process there, your reaction?
You know, before the murders, so that's 2009. By the way, para lang malinaw, kaya ko lang pag-usapan yung murders ngayon without breaking down because I did my work over the 13 years to get to a calmer space about it. I'm not over the murders and I have not moved on, whatever you mean by that. I just can handle it more with a calmer countenance. Tama ba yan? Mas kaya ko na siyang pag-usapan na hindi nababasag. Pero for the first 6 years, hindi ko siya pinag-uusapan yung murders ni Alexis at Nika. Para lang sa mga hindi familiar, meron akong dalawang kaibigan na film critic. Na-murder sila sa bahay nila sa Times Street. At ako yung nakita ko sila sa crime scene kung saan sila pinatay. Sa kitchen nila. So yun, acute trauma yun. So clear case study ako of myself, actually. Now you also know why I went and studied trauma recovery. Anger, okay. Bago nun, nung buhay pa sila Alexis, natanungin ako lagi, bakit ka nagtuturo sa prison? Parang sayang oras mo. Ay ba magturo sa children, teacher training? Bakit criminals? Ang sinasabi ko lagi ay, kasi sila yung worst of us, quote-unquote, at sila yung pinakamababang priority sa lipunan. So kung meron lang isang grupo, kami, Rocked, na naglaan ng oras na they deserve education, they deserve to learn how to read, even if hindi na sila makakalabas, baka meron akong bar na ma-raise sa buong lipunan. Naaakit din yung bar ng mga women and children and men who are not criminals. Parang baka may aakit na bar. Parang yun yung very idealistic kasi I was so young. I was so young then. And then they say, but why Bilibid? And I say, I think I can afford to do this. Then when they say, what do you mean you can afford? I said, because I have never been a victim of a heinous crime. I've never been a victim of a crime. You know, I used to say that, Howie. I think I can afford kasi may bandwidth ako for it. Never pa ako na-victimize ng krimen as we know it. And then when Alexis got murdered and Nika, I had to pause kasi parang yung hinahanap kong tao, the perpetrators of the murder, yung pinaka-ayokong tao, I hate murderers to begin with, ito sila, ito yung mga estudyante ko. Kasi alam ko yung mga estudyante ko, merong triple homicide, double homicide, etc., etc. But I always took it in stride, parang abstract siya sa akin. Pero nung nagka-friend na ako na murder, na-realize ko, sila to. So now, yung sinabi mo, did you have anger? Did you think it was them? Yes, alam mo, pag may nag-offend sa'yo, meron talagang taong who will remind you of it. So you also have to be careful na hindi sila yon. Okay? I'll give you an example. Kung merong nag-break ng heart mo na mestizo, hindi lahat ng mestizo masama. Pero by instinct, ayaw mo na ng mestizo. Parang nakikita mo ba yun? So parang ganun. Did I have anger? Yes, but my anger was in a prison. Parang it was everywhere, Howie. I was angry at Noy Noy, who was a senator at the time, because she lives six houses from you. It's in Times Street. I was angry at whoever the mayor is of QC at that time. I was angry. Was it Herbert Bautista? I forget. I was angry at the justice system. I was angry at everyone. I wasn't sure who was. I was angry at walang na-arrest. Eh, sanay na sanay pa naman ako manood ng Law and Order tsaka CSI na nasosolve yung murder after 1 hour, di ba? So, yeah, that was really rough. I had to swim through emotional muck and a lot of unsafe, what do you call this, environment reactions. Grabe, I started to shut down. But I still am shut down. But I also learned that napaka-liberating pala. Kakapagpalaya, kapag na-realize mo na hindi yung mga inmates ko ang nag-cause ng pain or ng murder ni Alexis, pwede ko siyang i-separate. Iba yon. So I learned how to, what's the word? Asintado with my anger. Kasi when you're not aware and you don't work on it, galit ka sa lahat. So pag masama yung mood mo, kahit sinong lumapit, galit ka sa lahat. Okay. May lubak, galit ka kay Bongbong. traffic, galit ka kay Bongbong. Umulan, galit ka kay Bongbong. Lahat president, galit ka kay GMA, galit ka kay Lenny, galit ka kay ano. Yun yung sinasabi ko, para napakakalat nung energy of your anger. Pero kung matuto ka palang maging mas reflective and you pause and really observe everything, saan ko dapat dalhin tong feelings na to? Kasi hindi siya lahat anger, ah. Karamihan doon, grief, sadness, hope. No, hindi siya laging anger. Pero dapat may pinupuntahan yon. Kasi kung kinimkim mo, dito ka nagkaka-eczema, psoriasis, asthma. Minsan doon talaga galing kasi tatambay sa body mo yung feeling. At by the way, hindi ko siya pinag-uusapan na feeling na magic. Ha? Ang feelings kasi, may katumbas siya na chemical in your body. Adrenaline, cortisol, epinephrine, etc. So pag sinabi kong release ka ng release ng adrenaline tapos walang pinupuntahan, yun talaga halos minsan nagiging high blood pressure or low blood pressure, whichever the direction is. High insulin, tapos nagiging habits. Iinom ka, or kakain ka ng super dami, or hindi ka nababangon. So see, nag-give birth yung feelings mo into behavior, tas nagiging illness, no? So pag hindi ka mag-exercise, so hindi ka mag-etc. So can you see the connection? Hindi siya feelings equals illness, ha? It's feelings equals mood equals behavior, tapos nagiging, pag may behavior na chronic, hindi ka nag-exercise, hindi ka kumakain ng maayos, hindi ka natutulog ng maayos, yun yung nagiging disease. So hindi, it's actually science-based na your feelings cause you ill. I was. In fact, nag-come to a head lahat sa akin, Howie, nung, how do I say this? Nang nari yung murders 2009, I think nag-deep depression ako 2015. Kasi dun din nawawala ng memory yung mami ko. Yun yung years na yun. Nung nawawala yung mami ko, alertness-wise, kasi hindi na niya nakikilala, dun ko na-feel yung 5 years ago na murders, na hindi na, parang dun ko siya na naramdaman for the first time. Kasi nung right after the murders, I was just, what's the word? Being busy. Parang busy ako with all my projects para hindi ako magluksa. Oh. Nangyayari ba sa inyo yun, for people listening? Like, I'd rather be busy than grieving. Mas gusto ko ng busy ako kaysa nagluluksa. Ayoko maramdaman yung feeling, so busy ka.
Yeah.
Does it make sense?
Well, it's a common strategy. Sometimes you don't have any option, di ba? Rather than just feeling sad at home. Lalo na if you lose a loved one, di ba? Minsan ganun eh. Some people go back to work right away and then their friends will say, oh, that's his way of dealing with it. That's his way of coping, di ba?
Oo, wala namang isang rule. Oo, pero ang sasabihin ko lang, kaka-catch up lagi. Laging magka-catch up. So, maglaan ka na rin ng oras kung kaya. For it to accommodate it. Kasi nakakatakot pag ginulat ka ng pag ginulat ka ng grief.
That's part one of our conversation with Gang Badoy, trauma recovery therapist and mental health clinician. Catch part two as we talk about dangerous ways to cope with stress, the concept of post-traumatic growth, and the value of breathing.